What if I told you there's a way you could be a second shooter at a family session so you can see exactly how the photographer prepares, how they interact with their clients, what they say when they're posing, or when they choose to use fluid motion, what they do when kids might not cooperate or dad might not be in the session? What if I told you there's a way you can see what the gear is that they're using, where they're positioning themselves when they're shooting, what factors they're taking into consideration when they're shooting? What if I told you there was a way you could see what their straight out of camera images look like, and then you could see their editing process too, so you know exactly how they get those start to finish images and those polished ones you see in your Instagram feed? Now, what if I told you could be that second shooter without ever having to leave your house? What if I told you that not only do you get to watch it from home, but you didn't have to remember every single thing you were trying to learn the first time you watched it? What if you could watch and rewatch as much as you wanted? How would that improve your images, your posing, your confidence? Now, what if I told you there is a way you could be a second shooter not only for one photographer, but 26? That's exactly what you'll experience inside the 2024 Online Family Retreat. Your inspiration will soar, your art will improve, your posing will become more fluid, and your confidence is going to increase so, so much. And honestly, your clients are going to feel so much more comfortable. Head on over to themilkyway.ca/family retreat. It all gets underway May 29th, and we hope to see you there.
It's really just about like being curious and willing to try new things. Like, it's okay if it doesn't work. If you go into a house and you communicate something and you try something and it doesn't work for 15 minutes of the hour and a half shoot, like, that idea could be a total flop. You might not get any photos from it, but you might get one, and you might get the most amazing images ever from it that like are heartwarming and rich. And you know, it's like leaning into this idea of what happens if you fall, what happens if you fly kind of thing. Like, if you don't make any bad photos or you don't try and experiment, then you're just going to stay where you are and you're never going to figure out what works and what doesn't. So all the gold lies in a pile of rocks. You know, you're never going to make progress if you don't push your own boundaries a little bit.
Welcome to the Art and Soul Show, where we dive into heart-opening chats on photography, business, life, and that messy in-between. I'm your host, Lisa DeJaso, a mom, a photographer, and entrepreneur, and I'll be sharing honest conversations and advice for photographers with insight on mindset, entrepreneurship, and creativity. The goal of this podcast is for you to be able to gain insights and strategies that will get you real results. Because let's face it, having a photography business can be lonely, but it doesn't have to be. This is the place you can go when you need a boost of encouragement, a kick in the pants, and inspiration to pick up your camera. This is the Art and Soul Show. Hello, my beautiful friends. Welcome back to the show. I am super excited to dive into today's conversation with Leah O'Connell. Leah is a family and newborn photographer based in Charlottesville, Virginia, focusing on creating heartwarming images and a stress-free client experience. She's also a wife and mom to two, with one on the way. Passionate about constant growth, but not constant pressure, and creating a business that supports a flexible, joyful life. Leah's background in education and 10 plus years in her family photography industry has led her to serving other photographers, as well with free coaching in her private Facebook group, one-to-one mentoring, and a signature course on creating sustainable workflows and systems. So without further ado, here is Leah. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me. This is so fun. We were just saying how much we love just talking about business and photography.
Okay. So first of all, you got to tell me when you're due.
End of April. So very soon. I'll be 30 weeks here this week.
Oh gosh. Yeah. I love, love, love. Well, as a newborn photographer, you know how much we love babies.
Yes. Yes.
So share a little bit about who you are, in addition to what I've already explained, and what you're really passionate about.
Yeah, sure. I'm based in Charlottesville. I live with my husband and our two kids. Our oldest is 7, and then we have a 3-year-old, and now we'll have our third here coming soon. So I've been photographing families in Charlottesville for around 7 years now, but I've been photographing families since I was in high school, starting in like mall studios. And like, it's just always been something that I've leaned towards. So that passion is really coming through. And it's really funny how passions kind of develop over time. And I think I started out knowing that I loved photographing families, but that's been refined as like, I love photographing lifestyle. And okay, now I really love photographing in homes. And even more than that, I really love like the intricacies of challenging home environments and things like that. So like if you give me a super styled home with modern art and clean lines, and then you give me like 1,000 square foot home with kids' artwork on the walls and color splashed everywhere, like I'm going to choose the second one every single time. So I'm really passionate about just like finding new ways to photograph families in a diverse capacity. And then alongside that, I've found out that I really love the business side of this work as well. And I've become really passionate about creating sustainable client experiences and then helping guide other photographers through, specifically family photographers, like really honing in on messaging for our genre, which I feel like gets underserved a lot. So I'm really passionate about finding those people and working with them to find this freedom and joy in this work too.
I love that. So share a little bit more on sustainable client. Sorry, what was the word? Sustainable client
experiences?
Experience. Yeah. Yeah. So can you share a little bit more about sustainable client experience? Because that sounds so like that jazzes me up, like just thinking about that.
Right. It seems like a unicorn, but it's not. It's not. I think when we first start out, we self-educate a lot. We bootstrap, we piecemeal together all of our offers and materials and our websites and softwares, and we just kind of pull all these things. And that's the beautiful thing about the industry that we're in is the barrier to entry really can be pretty small and allow like wonderfully talented artists to break into offering this. But what we find out pretty quickly, most people, is that like that hodgepodge method of collecting, you know, processes and things, it doesn't really stand the test of time. And then there's this big tangled mess. And that's where a lot of people just throw in the towel and say, like, I can't do this anymore. It's too confusing, too hard. So what I really like to do is help photographers get intentional about that from the ground up. And then even if you are inside that tangle, inside that little ball of yarn already, and you're just like, I don't know. That's where mentorship really shines and can really help you like discern what is working, what's not working, what's actually going to serve me, what's actually going to serve my clients, and kind of viewing it, you know, more of a marathon and not a sprint, not as like this frantic rat race. And then like being able to step back and see like what is going to work in the long haul here. And that's really hard perspective to gain, I think, on your own sometimes.
It's so true. And even like creating these systems that of consistency. And I think that's one thing that like we talked a little bit about how I'm on personally on my sabbatical with my photography business. That's one thing that I really struggled with is maintaining that consistency of excellence that I want for each and every client, because it started to become like detrimental to me with the amount of time and energy I was putting into it compared to what I was charging.
Well, there's this constant need for reevaluation that we forget about. We just continue doing things the way they've always been done instead of recognizing a tension before the bone is broken. You know, we want to notice tension as a turning point of like a place to adjust and make those pivots in our business that, you know, our lives are roller coasters. They change all the time in different seasons. What your capacity and availability is for different models and markets and all of those things. So noticing when things aren't working, and instead of pushing through like until you drive it into the ground and you get that burnout phase, you know, of like noticing, and we don't want to have to do 6 months of rehab. We want to, you know, just like exactly. Kind of do some yoga for a little while and like figure out yeah. What's going on and then kind of adjust things.
I love it. I think that's so important is like when is actually taking the time to evaluate what is working, what isn't working, what's changed or what's feeling uncomfortable. Like, this is like such a random example, but yesterday I went to Walmart because I needed a new belt. I've needed a new belt for 3 years. 3 years I've needed a new belt. And finally, it was the day I was like, I need to go get light bulbs. Maybe I should just get myself a new belt. Put the new belt on for my jeans. I was like, oh my gosh.
Why was this so hard?
My pants are staying up. Like, but it's like that resistance that you just like push through, even though it's like so silly. And then you know on the other side, like the reward for just changing something so simple, whether it be like no longer booking weekends or working evenings or not doing sneak peeks within an hour of their session. Like, it's those tiny little simple changes that you regain your own power and your own strength back that we forget that we're in charge of.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And I mean, we photographers are professional noticers. That is literally our job. And somehow there is this disconnect that happens between our art and our business. And we forget that the crafting of a business is also creative. And so instead of like paying attention and slowing down and being intentional about that, just as you would with the artwork that you're creating, we let those tensions just kind of take over. And I think it's become like a really common narrative in our industry from educators, from just photographers in general, that it's, I hit burnout and therefore then I changed my ways dramatically. And I think that we just need to turn the table on that a little bit and say, like, I think that we have the power to view this a little bit differently and kind of tweak those lines of boundaries and flexibility. And I believe that there's room and importance for both of those.
I love that. We just need a pre-burnout pivot.
Pre-burnout pivot, before we yeah. Just,
right? Like,
yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Now, I love that part of your educational mentorships really focuses on helping photographers untangle their own business processes. So maybe can you dive in a little deeper and just share a little bit how you focus on that?
Yeah, I mean, everyone's kind of like what we talked about before with this, like, suddenly you find yourself in this tangled ball of pieced together things. So, I mean, the first step in untangling is recognizing what you're even doing in the first place. And I think that so often we tell ourselves, like, I have to do this, I have to do that, I am so busy, I have too much to do. The answer is outsourcing, the answer is hiring, and that is sometimes the answer. But there's also a place where maybe we don't need to be doing all of those things. And maybe there's a simpler way to do those things, or maybe you're just making it harder than it needs to be. And so really examining why the things are the way they are in your business. And that's, again, like perspective that comes, you know, you need to let, again, when we start out, we hold things so tight because we're doing it all ourselves. So the process of opening up and letting people in and being vulnerable and asking for critique and asking for feedback, that's whenever you're really going to see growth and forward movement in your business. So that's what I do a lot in my mentorships. And then in the course that I've built is just like helping people figure out why they're doing what they're doing and then making a better way of doing
it. I love that. That's so needed. It's so funny because my friend of mine, so I've been on my little sabbatical. Well, not little. I'm taking a year off. So I'm taking a big sabbatical, a big step back. And I'm doing a lot of personal projects and just like playing with doing self-portraits. And a friend of mine, we just went on this girls' trip for the weekend. And she's like, babe, she's like, I really need some new brand photos. Like, can you please bring your camera? We'll grab some outfits. Like, can we please do it? And I'm like, you know what? Actually, that does sound fun to me. Let's do that. And so normally I would, so then I, we did the thing and then like halfway through, she's like, well, that's all I need. I'm like, I'm not done yet. Like, can we keep going? And so we kept going. And I was like, after I was like, okay, like I feel satisfied creatively. And then normally I would never sit with a client and cull them. But with her, I was like, okay, I want to know exactly what you want. So we're going to sit together and we're going to go through. I went through and did my first cull and I want to see what the ones that you pick, because I want to see if I'm picking the same ones. And so we ended up going through them and she's like, perfect. And then we narrowed it down from like 500 to 75. Then we're like, then around two, we narrowed it down to 25. And she's like, this is all I need. Wow. This is all I want.
Yeah.
I was like, seriously? And so she's like, she took a business call. I edited them, took me 1 hour. I was like, what do you want? Like, do you want me to do like my fancy editing? Like, she's like, no, I literally just want you to color correct them, extend the backdrop, and like make my skin smooth. An hour later, I was like,
wait a second.
I am really overcomplicating my business. Like, I was like, this, I am making it so much harder than it needs to be. It could be so much easier than how I've done it. And so like this, like, I was like, but I hadn't ever
thought of it.
That I could do it in a different
way. I mean, and that's just the blinders, you know, like we get so ingrained in the way that we're doing things, right? And I think one of the keys to creating this profitability and sustainability in business is checking all of our assumptions at the door on a regular basis. So if you ever find yourself saying like, well, this is what everyone wants, and I'm a family photographer, so therefore I must do Christmas tree minis, like that's what people want, or whatever it might be. Well, they want 500 photos, or they want all of my like top-notch edits. If you just assume these things without asking your clients, like there's just like, there has to be this reevaluation and like recognition of like, okay, well, this feels like, I feel tension here. This feels harder than it maybe needs to be. And there's probably another way. So let's just be open to what those could be.
It was just so enlightening. And I was just like, like what if I did this with a newborn session client and just said like, I soft edited them and like just showed them their 40 images that I love and said, do you agree with these ones? We don't have to do it in person. I could just soft proof it over the internet and it could be that easy. Or I don't even have to do soft proofing. I've been doing this 13 years. I know what my client's like.
Yeah, you know, like you're professional. You know, I think so. Oh, I see this so often is that people are just like, oh, well, I want them to have the choice and I want them to have all of the photos and I want them. And maybe they don't actually want that. They just really want to trust you to be the creative professional. And if you just deliver if you are like refined in your calling and you just deliver the best ones from your professional experience and standpoint, and you say, this is what you get, they're going to be like, awesome. Great. That sounds wonderful. Yeah.
As humans, I think we just overcomplicate everything and make everything, especially when we've been doing it a long time. We think it becomes too easy. And then like for me, for example, I love fine art editing. I love that an image can take me upwards of, you know, 3 hours to edit. But my clients don't get that because that's not what they're paying for. Like, but why do I think that I need to do that for them? Right? Like, it's this funny thing where I'm like, I'm not an artist unless I do this.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's so silly.
The stories we tell ourselves, you know? And there is a market for that. There is a place for that work and that joy and the fulfillment that it brings for you. But as long as you know that you're doing it for a reason and you feel good about it, and when that feels unaligned and you're like, wait a second.
It feels like a have to and an obligation versus like a get to and like I'm excited.
Exactly. What's the quote? If I had more time, I would have written a shorter letter. I don't know if you've ever heard that one, but it's like this concept of like simplifying is not the easy way out. You know, it's not to really simplify and refine a process or a communication or your copy, like whatever it might be, like it might take some tweaking. It takes time to be that intentional, but it's always going to come back in dividends for you.
Love that. That's great. So can we talk a little bit about systems?
Yes, I love systems.
Okay. So many of us avoid systems, or they're like me and they find ways to break them. Mm-hmm. Like taking bookings on social media, even though you know you have a system that works, and then you forget about the session because you didn't put it in your booking system. And then that happened to me in 2012. Yeah. So can you share any advice on getting out of your own way?
Oh, learning experience as always. We are our harshest critics and our best advocates. And I think the former is easier. It is harder to be your own advocate than it is to be your own critic or your own like roadblock, you know? One thing that this might sound really silly, but one thing that I find really helpful, like when you're working by yourself or, you know, we're solopreneurs a lot, we're doing a lot of this on our own, is to literally put like on these metaphorical hats of employees for yourself. Because really at the root of standing in your own way or being your own roadblock, if there's something that you keep procrastinating or you get nervous and you fall over yourself about or you forget to do all the time, really the root issue there is in self-respect. And I think it's a lot easier. We see this in self-care a lot too. Like, it's a lot easier to do something for someone else than it is to do it for yourself. And so the entry point is pretending that you have a boss. And if your boss would not be like letting this slide, then you need to have a different standard. And like, there would be consequences if the boss of your business had an expectation and you continually ignored it or just like didn't do that piece of your business or said put it off, like there would be consequences. So until you can hold yourself accountable for doing those things and like trusting yourself and respecting your boundaries and respecting your processes, then pretend like you're doing it for someone else. And I found that whenever I don't have the confidence in something but I want to, if I'm not there yet, kind of having these alter egos. I did this for a long time with shoots too. Like, okay, I am putting on this different energy that when I go into a home or when I, you know, do something that's like, I might not feel totally there yet, but I'm going to like put on this other version of myself or like pretend like I'm all of these different people in my business. And that way I can like have more of a team mentality of it, even when I don't feel confident or prepared or equipped for something.
I love that. I love the idea of alter egos. Have you heard of Todd Herman?
No.
And his book, Alter Ego? He was actually my business coach back in like 2014, 2015. And I actually interviewed him on the podcast, but he wrote a book called Alter Ego, where it's about tapping into your inner alter, whether it's being like a totem or like, for me, it's like sunglasses or lipstick or like my earrings. And you become that person before you are that person. And after a while, you stop needing the totems because you have stepped into that role.
Yeah,
it's such a good book.
That's so interesting. That's exactly like what, yeah, because yeah, eventually you don't need that access point of like, you do it for yourself. You do it because it feels really good to know what you're doing and why you're doing it and then confidently execute that. Like it becomes natural. And there's not a question of like, well, she asked for a discount and should I give it to her? It's just like, well, this is why I do it this way. And it's just, it's an issue of like respect and confidence and knowing what you're doing and why you're doing it.
Exactly. Learning to stand in your power.
Yeah.
Like really, like, I love that. So let's switch gears a little bit. I want to talk a little bit about your other passion, which is in-home sessions. So there is so much fear about going into the unknown with the lighting and the environment. So can you share how you've trained yourself and conditioned yourself to really lean into that fear when it might be uncomfortable and you're able to create meaningful art despite that fear?
Practice.
Yeah.
Lots of practice. But I think the root of that is openness and flipping the switch between being afraid of it and being curious about it. Instead of putting up those walls of, you know, what is required from what I've seen or am currently seeing about what makes a beautiful photo, what's necessary, what's, you know, required, I kind of just started challenging that notion. And honestly, really, it was because I was tired of seeing family images that all looked the same and that all looked perfect.
Right.
And especially when I became before that, but especially when I became a mom and I wanted to see images that were moving and connecting but like a little bit messy too, because the standard of perfection was just not accessible to me. And I was like, where are the photos that like I can see love and art and beauty, but like also myself, like reality of this season of life. And so when I started getting really clear about what makes beautiful photos for me, I kind of figured out that like it was so much less about the sweeping environments and the draping gowns and things like that. And it was just the people. It had everything to do with the people. So in terms of like developing my style and stuff, there was a period of time where I went really deep into studying documentary work. And I thought that I kind of wanted to lean into that genre more, but kind of through studying that and practicing the more journalistic approach, I got a lot of hands-on experience in people's homes and trying to like this idea of making it work. You know, if you're not touching anything in the environment, if you're not altering anything or directing, like how can that be a canvas for the story you're trying to tell? And since that time, I've kind of developed and decided not to really, I leaned back more into the lifestyle genre and I really like the directing, but I kind of meld. I take a lot of what I learned from that season of documentary study and that like technically had really influenced my comfort level with shooting in homes. But like mentally, it's really just about like being curious and willing to try new things. Like it's okay if it doesn't work. If you go into a house and you communicate something and you try something and it doesn't work for 15 minutes of the hour and a half shoot, like that idea could be a total flop. You might not get any photos from it, but you might get one and you might get the most amazing images ever from it that like are heartwarming and rich. And, you know, it's like leaning into this idea of what happens if you fall, what happens if you fly kind of thing. Like if you don't make any bad photos or you don't try and experiment, then you're just going to stay where you are and you're never going to figure out what works and what doesn't. So all the gold lies in a pile of rocks. You know, you're never going to make progress if you don't push your own boundaries a little bit.
I love that. I am a pose photographer. Like I'm the posiest pose photographer around, I swear. But I did a birth session for my business partner and I did a documentary style where I didn't say a single word the whole time I was there. And holy, talk about like stepping out of your comfort zone. And I have to say that's probably one of the most meaningful sessions I have ever done and powerful. Like being there for a friend's birth is like unreal, right?
And stepping out of your comfort zone, the magic of just like being open to the new thing and what did I learn from that? What can I gain from that? What can I pull from that experience into my post work if that's what you want to do?
It's so neat. It gave me such an appreciation for my husband though, because I remember like giving birth to my son and he's sleeping in the chair beside me. I was like, what on earth, sir? Like,
unacceptable.
You don't get to do that. But then after I did the session and like literally she had the most beautiful fast labor, it was 3 hours. And I went home and I slept for like 16 hours. So I was like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I get it now. So birth photographers, I see you. I see you. So can you share a little bit your business type? Are you IPS? Are you all digital? Are you a hybrid? What made you make that decision and what's working for you right now there?
I am a hybrid model. So I sell products virtually kind of based on a collection system with print credit approach. I started out of the gate as an IPS photographer because that's what I learned in the beginning of my career, using quotes, because I think I mentioned earlier, I started the very first photography job that I had was in like a Sears portrait studio in the mall and we were shooting on film cameras. Yeah. And then you show them on the screen and they buy their, I mean, like that's the process that I learned. And to me, it was kind of like a no-brainer, like the connection point between the photographs and the printed products were a necessary tie. Like the job didn't feel complete until there was something physical that wasn't a file on a computer. So that was really important to me. So I wanted to implement that and I tried, but we were moving a lot and at that point in our lives, and I just didn't really have the capacity to like build it the way that it needed to work. It just, something wasn't clicking. And then as you know, I started having children and growing our family, it just wasn't aligning. I needed to find another way to like simplify the process. And that's probably around 2017. So that's when I started developing this virtual model that I have refined and worked on since then and used to this day. So it's become to the point where I now operate a six-figure business in part-time hours. And it's more fun than it's ever been because, you know, when you're confident in your processes and you feel good about the way things are going, like you can go for a walk with your husband and like make print sales while you're putting your kids to bed. And you don't feel like you have to be on all the time. And that's just like a really, that's the beautiful freedom, I feel like, of the process that I work right now.
I love that.
Yeah. the whole model that I teach is the like bones of my my course, the Workflow Launchpad, and I teach it from start to finish, like the exactly how I do it. But I like position it as a launchpad because I'm not naive to think that like the exact way that I do it is going to cut and paste to everyone's business. It's just the virtual model is something that I feel like is newer. Like I think, in our industry in the past, it's been all-inclusive or IPS. And this virtual model, is kind of a newer thing. And I think there was a real gap for family photographers to have an access point into developing those systems in ways that were flexible for their different needs. But still like having like this is what works and this is how this process looks like and works successfully. So
I love that. Well, we'll definitely include information on how our listeners can learn more about your program in our show notes. So are you ready to switch gears to our lightning round?
Sure. Sounds fun.
Morning person or night owl?
Morning. Oh gosh, morning for sure. I will go to bed at 8:39 o'clock so I can get up at 4 a.m. I love being awake in the morning in a quiet house.
That's amazing. Yeah. I'm like, I will stay up till like 11:30 and then I'm like pulling myself out of bed at 7:20 to get my son to school. Yes.
I just, and again, this was a pivot, with young children. I was like, I cannot start the day off running. Like I need my so we'll see, TBD, how that happens when we have a newborn again. But lots will change. But.
What did you want to be when you grew up?
I went through all the phases. When I was really young, I wanted to be on a singer, a Broadway, star. I wanted to be a National Geographic photographer for a while. I thought that was my only concept of what a photographer could do. I don't know why. Photograph for National Geographic. Yeah, I went through that phase. I went to school to study media arts and design because I wanted to follow that thread of journalism and photography, but then I ended up switching gears into education. I thought I was going to be a high school English teacher. So, I mean, there's so many ways that now it's all pulling together, but yeah.
Isn't it neat how like all of the experiences sort of just meld into everything?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I find it so fascinating. Go-to karaoke jam.
Oh, goodness. I don't think I have one. It's been so long since I did a karaoke.
So what do you sing in the car when there's no one else in there?
This is so pathetic, but it is silent. I love a silent car.
Well, with littles, I can see that.
And it's fun. I love to sing and I love music, but so often, like for that particular thing, like if I'm in the car by myself, it is quiet.
I love it. Well, it's so funny because on the way to work, I got busted singing "Pour Some Sugar on Me" to the radio at the top of my lungs.
It was inspiring.
So funny. Yeah, I'm fancy like that. So what three things do you want to be remembered for?
That's a deep one. I think I want to be remembered for compassion. That's a general, to my clients, to my family, to strangers. I want to be remembered as someone who is like willing to go for it, to try new things, but also willing to like be comfortable in the stillness. Which is I've never desired to be like a hustle machine. I think I did for a little while and then, learned a lot from that. And so I think that's something that I hope to project to and someone who cares about others and, yeah.
I love that. Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Well, the first one that comes to mind is Moulin Rouge. strangely, which that's like an old fave. I remember that being like a one that I watched in high school, and it was like the first movie that I was like, oh, this is like a love story, but the way it's told was so unlike anything that I had ever seen that I was like, oh, mind blown by it. And I kind of, a friend and I kind of became obsessed with it for a little while. So that's like my go-to. Yeah.
I love it. I actually haven't seen it. So I'm really? Going to put it on my, like, it's a long weekend this weekend. Yeah. So I'm going to put it on my list.
Good.
Like, things to go on. Favorite guilty or not so guilty pleasure?
Everything feels so simple. I feel so pathetic. But right now, reading feels like a guilty pleasure to me sometimes. Mm-hmm. It feels luxurious to just sit and read a book, a fiction book, that it's not, I don't feel guilty about it. In some ways, like I think at first I did, you know, like I should be doing something, quote, productive or whatnot. But yeah, I really enjoy just sitting down with a good book.
I love it. Where rest is productive.
Yes.
Where do you feel most centered and happy?
Home. I think that's one of the things that, one of the reasons why I love in-home photography so much is because it is a happy place for me. And then probably, I mean, this is like the opposite, but I'm going to say like in nature, like on the water. My husband and I lived in Kailua, Oahu for a little while. And so like the water and the ocean is always like a nice reset, reprieve for me. Yeah.
Amazing. So what advice would you give for someone just starting out as a photographer?
Just starting out. Well, probably just to notice and listen to what lights you up. I think for a long time, I didn't know what to make of that advice whenever I received it or heard it, because I didn't know what lit me up, but I also wasn't really looking for it. You know, I was looking at outside to everyone else's stuff to figure out what was going to make me a good photographer instead of like focusing on what actually lit me up. Like, what am I moved by? and then I would take it to the other extreme and think that it meant that I needed to like carve my own path entirely, like completely put the blinders on, be tougher than the rest. And what I've kind of found over time is that blending of leaders and mentorship and resources and industry friendships and all of that with your own intuition and your own heart and your own magic, like that's where the secret sauce comes in. So that's what, you know, it's something that I think is kind of hard earned as advice. Like you kind of have to experience that, but that's what I, you know, I would hope to help people shortcut is like the need to be like everyone else.
So what's been the best piece of business advice you've ever been given?
Can I just pass that on? The same thing. That's what I received. I mean, that's, you know, it was the best advice that I ever got, and it took me a long time to tweeze out what it meant. So yeah, that's
perfect.
That's it.
I love it. So where can our listeners learn more from you?
So my business is Firefly Photography. My website is lofirefly.com, Leah O'Connell, Firefly. I'm on Instagram, fireflyphoto_Leah. And then my course is just lofirefly.com/workflow-launchpad. And so that's kind of like the triangle of places where I most often hang out. And then in my Facebook group too, it's called Family Photographers Behind the Scenes. So it's a small community where it's really specific for family lifestyle photographers.
So I'd love to end my interviews just with this last question. And it is, what are you currently curious about or artistically curious about?
This is so fun because I love curiosity. You know, I'm coming out of this season of really intense growth and curiosity with the launching of this education side of my business and developing the course and mentoring and things like that. So that's been something that I've been really curious about and really like got to a place in my photography where I felt like really comfortable and really confident. So I obviously needed to, you know, be a beginner at something again and try like start something right now. So that's been really fun and something that I've been curious about. But I'm trying to actually be very careful with myself right now about not trying to go down too many avenues of curiosity, knowing the season that I'm about to enter with a newborn, and just like trying to have a lot of grace for myself that this isn't going to be the season for exploration and development and things like that. So I guess I'm just curious about how it's all gonna, like, how are these things gonna, you know, meld together this time? So
I love it. Awesome. Well, Leah, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, my beautiful friends, thank you so much for tuning in. I hope you loved this conversation just as much as I did. I am sending you so much of my light and my love today and every single day. We'll see you next time. I wanted to take a moment to ask you a little favor. I so appreciate you spending your time with me and tuning in and listening to the show. I would be so incredibly grateful if you could take a quick moment to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. Your review helps other photographers discover the podcast and learn how to grow their own photography businesses and gain confidence to go after their dreams. It also means the world to me personally and helps me know what content you find most helpful. Thank you so much for your support and for being part of our amazing community.